Okay, let's dive into this stack of threat intel we have. Our deep dive today is really about this battle on two totally different fronts. You've got criminal resilience on one side and just, absolute zero-day sophistication on the other.
It's fascinating, right? Because the data shows both things are happening at the same time. You have these commodity malware groups that are just incredibly durable, and then you have these advanced attackers finding flaws before anyone even knows they exist. It's like a two-speed race.
Let's start with that resilience. I mean, Danabot is the perfect example. This thing was supposed to be crippled 6 months ago by Operation Endgame, and well, it's back, version 669.
It really just confirms that the money is too good to pass up. Danabot is a malware as a service model, a MaaS. So after that disruption in May, the operators just rebuilt, and they rebuilt smarter. They're now using Tor domains, these .onion addresses, and backconnect nodes to hide.
And for the listener, those backconnect nodes, that's not just a technical detail, is it?
Not at all. It's about protecting themselves. These nodes basically obscure where the real command servers are, which makes taking them down again, well, it's exponentially harder. The core operators clearly weren't arrested because the minute the coast was clear, they just relaunched the business.
Okay, so let's switch gears from that kind of brute force resilience to the apex predators. We're talking about these really sophisticated zero-day attacks, specifically Citrix Bleed 2, that's CVE 2025-5777, and a big one in Cisco's Identity Service Engine.
And the big question is always, how do we know they were 0 days? We know because Amazon's MadPod honeypot, it actually saw people trying to exploit both of these before they were publicly disclosed. So that confirms it. An advanced persistent threat actor, an APT, was already using them in the wild.
And the tactics they use, I mean, it just screams APT. With the Cisco flaw, they got admin access before even authenticating. Then they dropped this custom web shell called Identity Autotaction.
Yeah, this was definitely not off the shelf. To stay hidden, they were using things like Java Reflection. It's like injecting code deep inside the server's processes. It makes the backdoor almost invisible. Then they use custom DES encryption and, get this, non-standard Base64 encoding. Any data getting out just looks like noise. That takes some serious knowledge of Java and Tomcat.
Wow. Okay, so if that's the high-end threat, let's look at this third theme, just creative abuse of logic. This UNC 6485 cluster targeting the GlideNet TrioFox platform. They used a pretty simple access control flaw, right?
Right, CVE 2025-12480. All they did was spoof localhost in the HTTP host header to get to the setup page. But that wasn't the really clever part.
So what was?
Once they were in, they found the app's built-in antivirus scanner feature. They uploaded their malicious script and then told the TrioFox application that their script was the antivirus scanner.
Wait, so they tricked the system into running their payload as a defense mechanism.
Exactly. And because the AV scanner inherits the main application's privileges, that malicious script suddenly executed with system-level permissions that gave them full remote code execution. From there, they installed Zoho Assist and AnyDesk to move around the network.
So we've covered a lot. What does this all mean for you, the listener? Because it's not just about sophisticated attacks. We also have to remember basic security flaws are still out there, like that huge one SAP just fixed.
Absolutely. SAP's November update fixed a CVSS 10.0 flaw. That's maximum severity.
Yeah.
And the cause? Hard-coded credentials just left in the code. So whether it's a basic mistake like that, or the creative logic abuse in TrioFox, or the 0 days in Citrix and Cisco.
The common thread is patching and auditing your accounts.
It's always those two things. They are the essential defense against everything we've talked about.
Okay, so here's the final thought for you to chew on. If these huge law enforcement actions, like Operation Endgame, only push commodity malware like Danabot to rebuild its infrastructure to be more stealthy, more advanced, does that kind of global intervention just temporarily slow these criminals down? Or does it ultimately make them harder and better in the long run?